This is the Lombardi Line with Stormy Bonatoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't checked out the newly revamped VSiN.com, head over there now. We've got a betting preview for tomorrow's UFC fight night, betting splits for tonight's NBA and NHL playoff games, and of course, picks, and more picks. That's VSiN, VSIN.com. Briefly mentioned the Knicks-Pacers game coming up tonight. More on that right here on the Lombardi Line. I'm Joe Serallo. He's Mike Palm. Thanks for sticking with us. Rick Carlisle, Mike, wants to cry foul and blame the officials for the Pacers heading home in a 2-0 hole. Well, he just finally got fined for his, I would say, excessive criticism. $35K. Mike, I want to get your take on it first. We've got the soundbite. Let's take a listen at what Carlisle had to say.
You know, you I'm always talking to our guys about not making it about the officials. But, you know, we deserve a fair shot, you know, and there's not a consistent balance, and that's disappointing. You know, small market teams deserve an equal shot. They deserve a fair shot. No matter where they're playing.
I mean, Carlisle looks completely defeated. To me, it just sounds like absolute crybaby nonsense. Mike, what's your take? Does he have a valid point in your opinion, or is he just up there whining because his team's down 2-0?
Well, I mean, I think Minneapolis and Oklahoma City small markets are doing okay so far if we look to the West. I do agree that, I mean, how do you not have kick balls reviewable? I mean, they have to take a look at that. I mean, that's a very obvious thing. Did it hit someone's foot or not? But they want them to look at subjectively block charge. I mean, that's the hardest call in all of sports, and they think they can go to the monitor and do that and moving screens and all that. Anyhow, they said, what, 78 mistakes? What was their number? They should have fined him, 78,000 or 80, whatever he said, there was the number of mistakes they made. I know they said 29 in game one and, what, 30 or 49? I mean, it was ridiculous. I think it's a bad message for the team, really, actually. I mean, they had two games that could have been coming out of New York up 2-0, right? I mean, they've been competitive in the series, and now they've got this mentality, woe is me, that we're not going to get a fair shake from the officials. I think he should have focused on what his team needs to do to win these games and how did they defend in the half court against this Knicks team that really, you know, has a one and doesn't has a half of a one and then a supporting cast, not even a really defined two and threes. It's different on every night. But they have a great coach in Thibodeau. I thought that this was the best coaching matchup of the second round with Thibodeau and Carlisle. Maybe I'm going to be wrong with that from the stance that Carlisle is taking. But if you're a better, I don't think you can draw positive out of what Carlisle's doing with the press conference.
No, I mean, if you're a better, and to your point, if you're on his team, I mean, that's a pretty young team that the Indiana Pacers have. Really talented, but pretty young. And I think that they certainly turn to Carlisle for leadership more than, say, any veterans that are actually on the floor. And when that's the message that you're getting from your leader, that woe is me, world is against us, I don't see them bouncing back from that. And also, I got news for you, Rick. You were up 10 at halftime. You lit the world on fire, your team did rather, with 73 first half points in Madison Square Garden game two. You went into the locker room with Jalen Brunson's status questionable for the rest of the game. Mitchell Robinson out. OG Anunoby later on in that third quarter got hurt, pulled his hamstring, missed the entire fourth quarter. Now he's missing game three. I mean, everything that could have gone Indiana's way was going Indiana's way. You blew the lead. That's on your team. That's not on the refs. That's not on anyone else but your team blowing a 10-point halftime lead when your offense couldn't be stopped. Maybe instead of the refs, maybe ask Tyrese Halliburton why he didn't shoot the ball the entire third quarter, why he came out after having 22 points in the first half and he looked like a timid 8-year-old in the third quarter. I've got no sympathy for Rick Carlisle or for Joel Embiid and the 76ers or everyone crying foul about the New York Knicks who don't have Julius Randle, who have a banged up Jalen Brunson, who now are without OG Anunoby, who have lost Bojan Bogdanovic and now Mitchell Robinson for the postseason. The Knicks are playing with six guys. You want to look at Josh Hart's minutes the last four games? He's played 48 each of the first two games this series, played 46, practically a night off for him, game six against Philly. played all 53 in Game 5's overtime loss to the 76ers. I mean, has anyone ever had a four-game stretch like that in the history of the NBA playoffs? Rick Carlisle wants to cry. He's playing against six guys. And Mike, to your point, coming into this postseason, a lot of people would look at this roster and say that there's no clear number two. You got a top five MVP finisher in Jalen Brunson. But after that, it's next man up. And that takes both physical and mental toughness to have a team with such a next man up mentality. Indiana, you want to talk about mental toughness? They've got none of it right now. And that starts with the leadership. Rick Carlisle sounds like nothing but an absolute bitter crybaby to me.
I have to ask you, Joe, I know you're from the East Coast. Was the Knicks your NBA team growing up?
I'm absolutely a Knicks fan, man. I bleed blue and orange. Did it come out a little bit in that rant?
I was a stretch, but I thought maybe.
Yeah. No one gets as passionate about this stuff as a Knicks fan. But it's true. You know, from an objective lens, you look at this team, man, and no one's been battling more injuries than the Knicks. That's why I look at the Celtics and that deflated performance last night. You know, we were talking about it at the end of the last block. And now that they're without Kristaps Porzingis, all of a sudden, that depth looks pretty scarce. You don't have Al Horford coming off the bench. It's pretty much Peyton Pritchard. And then who else? You know, Sam Hauser, Xavier Tillman, Luke Kornet. Those guys combined for what, like 3 points last night? So the Celtics, now depth is an issue. And it's showing because they don't really have that toughness, in my opinion. They've got all the talent in the world in their starting five, but they lack toughness. With the Knicks, it's kind of the opposite. No one looked at this roster a few weeks ago and said they were the most talented, maybe even top five most talented rosters in the NBA playoffs. It's why the Sixers, as a 7 seed, were favored against the Knicks. But one thing they have, and it starts at the top with Tom Thibodeau, is an unquestionable toughness that's just simply not matched by anyone else, I don't think, in this field. Maybe Minnesota is the one team that could match that toughness, but it's a pretty rare special thing what they have, and Rick Carlisle is just exuding the exact opposite.
I have to tell you, you know, from a bookmaker's perspective, the Knicks have been good for the handle. A little bit surprising to me, but, they've been somewhat of a substitute. You know, the best two teams for those of us here in Las Vegas are the Lakers, number one, and then really the Warriors. And the Lakers out early and the Warriors didn't make it. I thought we were going to have a very depressed handle for our NBA playoffs this year, but the Knicks have really helped it in the East. And then I was at Encore the other night, Monday night, during game one because we had the AGA director's dinner before the board meeting Tuesday. And I stopped by the book at Wynn because the dinner was at Lakeside. And I mean, it was just all Knicks fans watching that game. So I know they get more on the Strip, more New York people stay on the Strip than they do downtown, but it's been pretty impressive, the amount of interest in the Knicks so far.
Yeah, and it's been a fun postseason. You know, don't forget, look, obviously everyone knows we haven't won a championship since 1973, but we also haven't been relevant in about two decades, minus, you know, the 2013 Carmelo Anthony, Amari Stoudemire-led team, that their peak relevancy was only making it to the second round, where, of course, we lost to these Indiana Pacers and the famous Roy Hibbert block, you know, when Melo went for a dunk and Hibbert met him at the rim. It's been two decades of, you know, really nothing to be proud of as Knicks fans. In fact, my whole lifetime, I'm going to be 26 in a month and I'm too young to remember 99 and 2000. I was 1-2 years old at the time. I've never seen a Knicks team go to the Eastern Conference Finals. This has a chance to be the most successful Knicks team that I've at least been able to enjoy, not technically of my lifetime, but, you know, realistically of my lifetime. And the buzz around, you know, New York, Knicks fans really all around the country, from New York to Vegas, it's been something special. You know, we do have another game tonight, Nuggets Timberwolves, and this has been a pretty surprising series. To your point about a small market team doing well, the T-Wolves up 2-0, and now they're headed home. Is this going to get back to Denver? How do you see this one wrapping up? Do we see the MVP, Nikola Jokic, just won his third in the last 4 years, going home before he even gets a chance to go back to a game five?
Boy, it's been amazing to be watching this in the second quarter of game two. I was just shocked. And really, the Nuggets didn't put up much resistance in the second half. There was no big run. They didn't get it back to single digits. Minnesota looks like the best team in the NBA right now, to me, and I'm not an expert. I don't watch a ton of NBA, but boy, I know they're a great defensive team, but what they've done on the offensive end and what they've put this Denver team through, I thought that Denver was the value to bet for the title because the Celtics were so low, and I say they always get good shots because the ball goes through Jokic's hands, and they take good shots. They don't try to back anybody down. They're not shooting threes that they shouldn't. And yet the offense has looked very disjointed here in this series. And everybody loved Phoenix in the first round. In Minnesota, it was a terrible matchup because, you know, Phoenix plays enough defense. Minnesota doesn't play good offense. And all and they just swept right on through. You talk about like the Rangers and getting all this momentum and not losing. I mean, this Minnesota train is rolling, and it's going to be interesting tonight. So certainly tempting to try to come back with the Nuggets plus 4.5. But the all eyes here, and this might be the highest right game of the playoffs for us to date.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch. Anthony Edwards just said, don't compare me and call me the next MJ. Call me the first Anthony Edwards. That kid's a dog. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started on the Lombardi Line right here on Visa.
This is the Lombardi Line with Stormy Bonatoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers, bet $5, you'll get $150 in bonus bets instantly. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VSiN, only on DraftKings, where, of course, the crown is yours. We're going to hit the progressive guest line now. The senior NBA advisor over at FTN, our guy Zach Graham, all set to join the show. And I just think he's on the New York Knicks tonight like I am. Zach, how you doing, man? And tell us your thoughts on this Knicks-Pacers game 3 in Indy.
Hey, Joe, Mike, appreciate you guys having me back here. Knicks tonight, man. I was actually chatting about this line with some of our subscribers here at FTN yesterday. I thought it was a bit eye-popping at the time. And once our projections came out and went live this morning, gave me a little bit of confirmation bias here. So our model at FTN does have the Pacers taking game 3, but by just about a point here. And I understand that the defensive acumen, right, of this Knicks rotation is going to take a little bit more than a hit with OG Anunoby going out. And I actually think he might, if the Knicks make it through this series, he might miss the entirety of a potential Eastern Conference Finals as well. But going from OG Anunoby to, I think, Precious Achiuwa going to get the start here. Maybe Alec Burks, but I think Precious probably the best option to try to stymie Pascal Siakam a little bit at home on the other side. And Tom Thibodeau teams are going to fight and scratch and claw their way more often than not to a competitive game, no matter who is out there, right? And as long as Jalen Brunson, who is listed questionable with that foot issue, as long as he's able to go, I love taking the Knicks here on the road. Only 7 out of 24 games has a Tibbs coach Knicks team lost by 8 or more. 3 of those were back in 2021 in that Hawks series loss. So it's a completely different Knicks roster at this point. And my noggin thinking that a Tibbs coach team is just going to make this one competitive, I'm totally happy to take the points here with the Knicks.
Zach, you took the Knicks for the game, but the two props, a positive one for the Pacers and a negative one for the Knicks. TJ McConnell over 10.5 points and Josh Hart under 12.5 rebounds.
Yeah, so first starting with TJ, I'm a huge Timothy John McConnell fan here, but trying to take my bias out of it, over 10.5 points tonight, 71 games in the regular season for TJ on the Pacers this year. Played 20 or more minutes in 26 of those games. Now, of course, regular season is not a one-to-one comparison that you should use for your playoff lines here, but out of those 26 games, TJ scored 11 or more points in 17 of them, so right around a 65% clip. And in another 3 of those 9 that he didn't go over this number, he scored 10 points. So 8 of his playoff games this postseason, McConnell averaging 10.6 points per game. But over the 3 games that he's played 20 minutes or more, he's averaging 16. And I know that's a small sample size, but something I've talked about at FTN over the last week is that this second round series against the Knicks, I think, gives him a higher minutes floor and ceiling combination than we saw in that first round matchup against the Sixers, where Andrew Nembhard was, I think, the better option defensively. We saw that play out with the minutes, and our model here has TJ for a hair over 13 points tonight. And then flipping to that Knicks side, I have been burned a couple times to start this series by taking some Josh Hart unders. And I stayed away from this, the rebounds prop rather, on Wednesday for game two. That turned out to be a good decision results wise. But I'm taking a second look here this morning. We talked about, of course, OG out, and I expect Precious Achiuwa to be in the starting lineup. So Josh Hart, through the eight playoff games this postseason, 15.8% rebound rate. And that's right around where he was since the trade deadline. Of course, this team kind of remade itself with OG and Precious coming over, shipping RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley north of the border. Since the trade deadline, 16.2% rebound rate for Josh Hart with both Isaiah Hartenstein and OG Anunoby on the floor. But with my expectation that Achiuwa isn't going to get the start in place of OG here, with Achiuwa and Hartenstein on the floor together since that trade deadline, Josh Hart's rebound rate goes down to 11.5%. So am I nervous to take an under on a guy who has already burned me on a number of props to start this series and hasn't sat on the bench yet through these two games? Of course. But our model here at FTN does have Hart for 11.1 rebounds in game three. So I like leaning into the model and the on-off numbers for this one. So it's an under for me on Josh Hart's rebounds.
He's Zach Graham, senior NBA advisor at FTN Fantasy on the Progressive Guest Line. If you're just joining us, Zach, I don't know how I feel about that Hart under, especially like you just acknowledged when you're dealing with a guy who plays 48 minutes per game practically this postseason. That McConnell play, I think, is pure gold. In fact, Rick Carlisle, who, you know, I addressed earlier in the show, has spent so much time crying this series about the officiating. Maybe he should have looked himself in the mirror and asked himself why McConnell spent so much time in crunch time on the bench in game two when his minutes were as impactful and as efficient as anyone else's out there. So I love the McConnell play. Let's flip it to the Western Conference a little bit. Minnesota, Denver, the Wolves heading home, unlike Indiana. They're up 2-0 in this one. Do you have a best bet for that game?
Yeah, so for me here, it's looking at Jaden McDaniels and his points prop. Most places you're going to find that at 8.5 this morning. Our model has him for a hair over 11 points today. And Jaden McDaniels, again, just bringing in the regular season numbers to my calculus here today. 10.5 points per game over his 72 regular season appearances. 10.3 through his six playoff appearances so far this postseason. But that number in the playoffs, again, it's a small sample size, and it's certainly being boosted by those two massive games. Massive for Jaden, right? 25 and 18 point outings, respectively, in that first round series against the Suns. And as good as Minnesota has looked, Denver as a whole, still a much tougher defensive team in my eyes, a worse matchup than a Phoenix Suns roster. But I think Jaden McDaniels due for some positive regression here tonight. He's just 2-for-14. In the series so far. And like, I'm not going to come in here and try to sell you on Jaden McDaniels being a sharpshooter or an elite scorer. Of course, he's far from that. But he's still a guy that was 49% from the field, 34% from three on the season. That's right around where his career numbers are as well. And then you look at the matchups in this series. His primary defender has been Michael Porter Jr., who I don't think strikes fear in the heart of any NBA player on the defensive end. And then to a lesser extent, his secondary defender has been a hobbled Jamal Murray. So it's going to be rocking in Minnesota tonight, man. They can really step on the throats of the defending champions here. We know that historically a 3-0 deficit is historically impossible to come back from, even though in the last couple of years we've had a couple close calls, including those Celtics last year against Miami. But I like the model's pick of the points here. It makes some sense for me to Jaden McDaniels to finally get it going here in this series, especially in the friendly confines at home.
Zach, the Celtics threw in another clunker last night, getting buried at home by an undermanned Cavs team. You like the Celtics laying the points on the road in the bounce back in game three?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've seen that so many places this morning, you know, oh, typical Celtics playoff performance last night. And like, sure, that was the case, right? Disappointing, no doubt about it. But right now, 8-point road favorites. I'm of the mind that they should still be double digit favorites in every game of this series, even on the road. Cavs were scorching hot from three last night. And credit to them. Like, I think JB Bickerstaff pushing the pace a little bit more last night and then going 13 of 28 from deep and 55% overall from the field. Credit to them, right? Like, I'm not trying to take anything away from what they did last night on the road, but Boston on the flip side, worst game of the postseason so far in terms of their shooting, right? Just 41% from the floor, 8 of 35 from three. Got beat up on the boards a little bit as well, 44 to 31. But Boston, most made threes in the NBA this season, 140 more makes than the next closest team. And they did that while being the second most efficient team from three as well at 38.8%. So I think they bounced back in a big way on Saturday. This is still a team on DK Sportsbook, minus 110. To win the title. So I'm more than willing to lay the 8 points and stay on the Boston train on Saturday.
Yeah, no value on Boston money line. I think if you're going to take them, though, you might as well lay the points. Or if you think Cleveland has a shot at home, they're already 4-0 there, take a little sprinkle on them, plus 275 on the money line. Zach, thank you so much for the time, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Zach Graham, that's the senior NBA advisor over at FTN Fantasy. Follow him on Twitter at K.A. Weisenberg. Appreciate the time, as always. When we come back, hour two of the show, which means we're also on the DraftKings Network. A lot of great stuff coming up all over these great Friday night games. We'll also talk a little Friday night hockey. Haven't gotten to that yet. Mike's got a lot to say. Don't go anywhere. It's the Lombardi Line on VSiN.
This is the Lombardi Line with Stormy Bonatoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you ready to become your own sports betting expert? Look no further than a VSiN Pro subscription, your ticket to insider insights, exclusive data, and winning strategies. For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. Normally priced at $240, you can now grab your subscription for just $199. Sign up today and we'll also give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use the promo code Lombardi. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see who has the best win percentage and ROI, 19 hours of live programming, including expert breakdowns and in-game analysis, proven betting systems from professional handicappers, and our exclusive betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Just visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $1.99 with promo code Lombardi. That's VSiN, VSiN.com/subscribe. And now we're going to hit the progressive guest line for our guy, host and director of Leafs Morning Take on the Nation Network, Nick Alberga. Nick, how you doing today?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys on this Friday?
Good morning, Nick. You know, I know the Leafs are life there. And when we're going through the DABDA, the stages of grief, funny things happen to us. But this campaign now for Claude Julien to be the next guy. Are you kidding me with this? I mean, every coach for Toronto is very distinctly Waspish. They're not taking a French coach that coached the Canadiens. Babcock, Carlisle, Wilson, Quinn, Murphy, Burns. Explain to me this Claude Julien tweet.
So it's not going to happen. I'm happy you keep me accountable, Mike. That is good stuff, especially in the betting world. The reason why I put it out there, who better than a former head coach of the Boston Bruins, of the Montreal Canadiens, of the Ottawa Senators, to coach a team who has trouble with the Boston Bruins, the Montreal Canadiens, and the Ottawa Senators. That was the reasoning behind it. I don't think it's going to happen. I think ultimately it's going to come down to Craig Berube or Todd McClellan or Joel Quenneville if he gets a shot to interview for this position. But that's the reasoning behind it.
Any shot, and I know you're going from a guy, Keefe, who didn't win in the playoffs to another guy who hasn't, that Brenda Moore gets swept here, wants out of Carolina, and they look at him?
I've been asking around for a good month. Everybody seems to tell me the same thing, that there's a drawer somewhere in an office and there's a contract extension to be signed. Having said that, where there's smoke, there's fire. We saw to begin this second round, the whole story about Brendan Moore wanting to sign an extension, then it was pulled So maybe that was the extension that was in that drawer somewhere. But I think that's like the definition of negotiating with the media. And I think when push comes to shove, the one thing the Carolina Hurricanes have in their corner is the fact that Brendan Moore's got a family there and doesn't want to leave Carolina. So I think it's unrealistic. And I think they'll move on, because I think if you run the risk, and even if Carolina loses tomorrow in game four, you run the risk of missing out on some really good candidates if you're waiting around for a guy that's not actually going to be there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Zach, I want to look at, or Nick rather, excuse me, our last guest was Zach. I want to look at tonight's action a little bit, and the Edmonton Oilers against the Vancouver Canucks. Edmonton was my pick coming into the playoffs to hoist up the cup at the end of things. And if you look at the way that game one unfolded, up 4-1, blowing that in Vancouver, this Canucks team really has not struck any fear into me throughout the second half of the season. I thought Nashville was actually going to upset them in the first round, and then they come out flat, they go down 4-1, but all of a sudden they turn it around with one of the best comeback postseason wins I've ever seen. What happens tonight, man? Does Edmonton right the ship? Do we see the team that looked dominant through 40 minutes, or does Vancouver at plus money, plus $1.10, do they ride all the momentum?
I think the Oilers respond. Having said that, I think in the betting world, you're always trying to create these narratives to build upon a squad. I think the one thing obviously working against the Vancouver Canucks is the fact that their third string netminder is in there. Doesn't sound like Thatcher Demko is anywhere close to returning for this team. And ultimately, I think that could be their downfall. Having said that, as you just referenced, I loved their fight, their compete level in game one. While we're all wondering about Vancouver's goaltending, we should feel the same way about Stuart Skinner, the number one for the Oilers, who was just dreadful, absolutely dreadful, guys, in game one. But I do expect a bit of a result and a bounce back, I should say, from Edmonton. Important to stress, they're dealing with injuries. Adam Henrique, who didn't play in game one, sounds like he's going to play game two. And Leon Draisaitl, who's one of the best players on the planet, of course, is obviously dealing with something. I think this is going to be your classic signature Connor McDavid moment where he's going to will his team to victory. And I think the Oilers will tie this series at one tonight.
Game three in Boston now between the Panthers and the Bruins tonight. Interesting series here. Boston played very well in game number one. Swayman shows some signs of being human in game two. And I thought Montgomery did the right thing, giving him a little spell there. At the end of the game, big spot here in this series. I think this is a must win for the Bruins here. I think if they lose tonight, they lose this series 4-1. Your thoughts, the Panthers, 130 favorite on the road.
We're in simpatico. I feel the same way. I think it's a massive swing game in this series. Everything we saw in the first two games, and then the way Florida comes out in game two and flexes their muscles like the rock. I mean, you need to respond accordingly. And I think we'll get a firm understanding if they're overthinking their hand when it comes to goaltending as well. Like, Swayman's been a great story, but he looked really, really fatigued in game two. And I think the number I would look at again in this game is the 5.5 total. I think you have Bobrovsky at one end, where I think he's been lights out, I think, again, for the most part. Then you have Swayman. You think he's going to have a better effort. And that's why I'm probably playing the under in 5.5. But I think it's priced accordingly. I like Florida in this game. I think they're the better team in the series. I know I know Boston's coming off a game seven victory against the Leafs, and I think that had something to do with the way they performed in game one. But I just think profoundly, I think Florida's the way better team, so I'm going to back them here in game three.
He's Nick Alberga joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Catch him on Twitter at the Golden Muzzy. I want to stick in the Eastern Conference. Look at this Rangers-Hurricane series. I mean, this one, it seems all but over. Obviously, there have been, what, four instances where teams come down from 3-0. I don't think Carolina is going to be able to do so against this Rangers team. But when you look at the value and how this one's priced for game four, Mike seems to be on the Hurricane side, although, you know, he mentioned he didn't want to lay that $1.50. To me, though, normally, I would take the home team here. I'd say that they're going to play stopper. They're going to defend their home ice, all that cliche crap. But they have no momentum. I mean, the Rangers, the way that they just went out there, and you thought Carolina had momentum with the late goal in the third, and then a minute and a half into overtime, the Rangers end it. I just feel like all the momentum is in their favor. And the price, value-wise, is a great one at plus 125 on the President's Trophy winners, who are 7-0 this postseason. What's your take on this game? Will Carolina defend home ice, or do the Rangers put them out of their misery?
I was going to say, contrary to popular belief, Mike's actually a pretty smart dude, and I'm right there with him. Like, you can't. The price is too juiced on Carolina to back them, where you almost have to back the team that's won three straight games. Like, that's the way I look at it. Unless you want to lay the goal and a half there, which you see on your screen at plus value. It's been such a weird series because here we go again with Carolina. It's like, oh, all the numbers suggest that Carolina should be in this series. It's like Groundhog Day. This time last year, Rod Brindamore, after they were swept, came out, the head coach, and said it didn't feel like a sweep. Well, surprise, surprise, it was a sweep. And you're looking at it again. And I just don't know how Carolina responds from the way everything transpired and went down in game three, to lose that game on home ice, to lose in OT. And then on top of that, the way Igor Shesterkin is playing right now, and you compare it to Carolina's crease with Freddie Anderson and Pyotr Kochetkov, and the fact that here we go again, Carolina can't score on the power play, which has been a huge theme for this team in postseasons past. I think there's way too much value actually in the New York Rangers, if you can believe it.
All right, Muzzy, I'm going to leave you about 45 seconds here. All right, Pete DeBoer, you had your excuse in game one, the seven-game series. You tired, fatigue. Last night, Dallas played as well as they could the first two periods. That's the Ottinger we thought for the last 4 years we were going to get. He was terrific. They're up 4-0. Colorado looks dejected. And here we are 3 minutes in the game. They're up 4-3. That's tremendously concerning for me as someone that has a Stars future. Who wins this series?
I'm going to back Dallas. I should preface again by saying Colorado was my day one pick to start the season to win the cup. Man, they got some dogs on that roster. They just don't take no for an answer. And that would scare the hell out of me if you're Dallas. Just look at the first two games of the series. But at some point in time, the Stars have to break through. I love their Tanev pickup at the deadline. I love Haskinen. Dude, we've talked about this all season. It's going to come down to Jake Oettinger. Can he be that prize possession in between the pipes? If he can make those saves, I think Dallas wins it. I think they'll find a way to squeak out this series in seven games.
Good stuff, Nick. Thanks so much for the time, man. Really appreciate you.
My pleasure, guys. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Nicky.
Nick Alberga. Go follow him on Twitter again, at the Golden Muzzy. When we return, back to the diamond. You heard Mike and I's best bets. Now Anthony Recker is going to join us. Former MLB catcher. Nowadays, he's all over MLB Network. Don't go anywhere. You're locked into the Lombardi Line on VSiN.